We're continuing today in our series of conversations with Jesus from the Scriptures, and today is one of those that's a very, very familiar one. And in fact, I think it was demonstrated in the little video we had, and because if you don't know much about the Scripture, you've heard a piece here and there, you've heard the phrase born again, or you've seen at a sporting event where someone's held up that sign that says John 3:16, and so we know this Scripture, or we know parts of this Scripture. And so as we come to this discussion today, it's really important that we recognize not just the Scripture, but the words that make up the Scripture. Words are important. I came across a story of a family who taught their children from a very young age to sing songs. I don't know if you've done that. We did that in our family. We'd be going somewhere and sing songs with the kids, kind of made the time pass a little faster. Well, in this particular family, they had the youngest child was singing songs one day, and they recognized that it was a song from Sesame Street. It was a song about the ocean, and it had this line in it, "Love, love, love the ocean." And they noticed, though, something was amiss. It didn't sound quite right. And as they listened closer, they discovered that their youngest child was singing, "Blah, blah, blah the ocean." I think we do that sometimes, don't we? We just fill in words when we're not sure. But when we do it to that particular word, it can really change the meaning, can it? I was thinking about that as I was preparing the message, and we have a song in our hymnal that's called All Love Divine, All Love's Excelling. And I thought, you know, all blah divine doesn't sound with the same depth of meaning, does it? Or if you're from my generation, I mean, you know, the Beatles song, All We Need Is Blah, just doesn't have the same power, does it? So words carry meaning with them, and they're important. And sometimes we if we don't know the word, we do just like that little girl did. But even more importantly than missing a word or two is rushing through things and missing the meaning of them because we want to rush through them and get past them and get beyond them. One of my favorite television shows of all time is the television series Seinfeld. Now, I know you either like Seinfeld or you don't. I'm not trying to convert anyone today. But one of my favorite episodes was an episode entitled Yada, Yada, Yada. And the phrase yada, yada, yada in the show was substituted when people didn't want to tell the whole story. So they would say things like, well, I went to work today and I started to get in trouble and yada, 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 I went home that night. And so you could leave out the details of the story and you'd really miss the meaning. They found it very convenient to do that. Anybody here find it convenient to do that? I'll tell you a story. When I was coming back from vacation at Christmas time, I was driving through Oklahoma, and all of a sudden I saw red lights flashing in the background, and yada, 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 we had breakfast in Missouri. So you get what I'm pointing at there. It makes a difference in the story, doesn't it, if you just kind of skip through it. That's like, you know, I overheard a couple of our ladies sitting over here talking, and they were saying that they were going down the street last night. They were driving in their car together, and they saw this sign for a male strip show. And yada, 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 they came to church this morning. So you know, you see what I mean? It takes all the fun out of the story. And what else you discover in something like that is, as they discovered in the Seinfeld episode, is sometimes you really want to know the details. And that's what happened to one of the characters. And it's okay that we do that occasionally, but I'm afraid sometimes we do it with Scripture. And sometimes we do it with Scripture that we're most familiar with. We've heard this Scripture before. One way or another, we've heard it before. Even if you were never in church before this morning, you might have seen that sign held up. Even if you were never in church before this morning, you might have heard this thing about born again. And so what we do is then we just kind of yada, 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 John 3:16, and we run right through this whole chapter. And when we do that, we fail to do justice to what God is speaking to us through this Scripture today. And what happens is, I think we just kind of yada our faith. And we just let it kind of, oh, it's got to be natural, it's got to be here. And we miss the point that everyone has to work out their own faith journey. You can't live anybody else's faith journey. You have to live your own. I was reminded of a story about a woman who really wanted to have the faith journey her mother had, and she remembered the things her mother did, and each day when she was growing up, her mother would prepare for the day, and the first thing she'd do is she'd get a little leash, and she would take the cat, and she'd tie the leash to the bedpost. And then she'd get out her Bible, and she'd sit there for quite a while and read Scripture. When she was done with that, she'd spend time in prayer. And so as the young woman grew up, she wanted to recapture some of her mother's faith and what her mother did. And so each morning she would do the same thing. She had a cat, she'd take the leash, she'd tie it to the bedpost. She'd read the Scripture, she'd pray. But she discovered that she was a lot busier than her mother. So she started reducing things, and she wasn't reading as much Scripture, and she wasn't praying as long. But her life kept getting busier and busier and busier, so finally she decided that each morning she could at least get up and tie the cat to the bedpost. And that was her faith journey. You see, what are we doing on our faith journey? Are we just skipping over things that are so important to us? Are we just saying, yada, 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 oh, here I am? We could do that with Scripture. God created the world, yada, 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 the Ten Commandments, yada, 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 Jesus was born, yada, 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 women shouldn't speak in church. I just threw that one in there for the fun of it to see if everybody was still awake. But that's what we can do with that. And we do it with this very Scripture today. We get the beginning of it, and we see Nicodemus coming. We've heard that before. By the way, as it was pointed out by Sandy, this happened at night. This was the original Nick at night, by the way, just in case you didn't know that. That was bad. Give me a bad one every once in a while. But you could start with that, and then you just jump down and you miss it. You'll say, oh, born again, yada, 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 Scripture's over, I know this. But you can't just say that. You've got to incorporate this into your faith journey. This is absolutely a pivotal statement in Scripture. It's a pivotal time. Today we're talking about somebody who was already a religious insider but just didn't get it. It's one of the most familiar conversations, as I said, in the Bible. We can't just begin with it and say yada, yada, yada and go on with our faith journey without really digging into it and seeing what it means for us. Paul says later in the Scriptures that each of us has to work out our own salvation. I think that's what happens with a faith journey. We have to work out our own salvation, our own journey. We can't live someone else's journey. And so we encounter this Scripture that reminds us of the importance of being born of the Spirit of God. And sometimes if we stop there, we miss what is one of the key elements of this Scripture. It's that point where it says, for God so loved the world. God gave God's only Son, so whoever would believe would not perish but have eternal life. This is a critical Scripture. It says so much about God, and when you're trying to work out your faith journey, the more you know about God, the better, right? Because sometimes on the faith journey, things aren't easy. Bad things happen, and it's nice to have something to fall back on to at least try to figure out who God is and how God acts. Because if you read the paper, watched the TV this week, how do you explain away the tragedy at Northern Illinois University? How do you explain away tragedies when people we love and care for are in accidents? When other kind of tragedies befall us? I mean, where is God when those things are happening? We talked about that in a sermon about a year ago more specifically, but how do you deal with that on a day-to-day basis? When God doesn't act the way you think God should act, how do you deal with it? How do you prepare yourself? How do you live your life? I think of Craig this morning. Craig's getting ready to go over, and I always use the phrase, in harm's way. I don't know why I like that phrase, maybe because I've been there too, Craig, and it's just a good phrase. But as Craig goes over there, I have to wonder, why does Craig have to go over there? Why does anyone have to go over there? But I also wonder, is God going to be with Craig? How's Craig going to work out his faith journey when he's overseas? How are you going to work out your faith journey when you're questioning what God is doing? It's by remembering. For God so loved the world. that God gave God's only Son. You see, I may not be able to explain everything. I may be not able to understand why certain bad things happen and why they happen to one person and not the other. Why can't they happen to the mean people? I mean, aren't they the ones that deserve it? Why doesn't it work that way? And when I'm trying to figure it out and I'm trying to walk and say, where is God? I'm not always sure. But I know one thing. God loved the world, and that includes me. God loved the world so much. God gave God's only Son. I think it's so important here that we understand that the faith journey isn't about heart or head. It's about both. There are people that say, oh, you know, you're trying to think too much with your head on your faith journey. And then there are others that say, oh, it's all about your heart. No, it's about both. You see, God wants both. And so as we begin to work out our faith, we cannot yada, yada, yada through Scripture. We cannot yada, yada, yada through our problems. But instead, we have to embrace the journey and work out our faith for ourselves. And we can start with this script. What a great place to start. I mean, doesn't matter what's going on in your life, starting with the knowledge that God loves the world is a great place to start, isn't it? Starting with the knowledge that he not only loves it, but loves it so much that he sent God's only Son to us. Do you understand the significance of that? The importance of that? The power of that statement? I think sometimes we miss the importance of God's love for the world because we throw that word love around so easily. We do it too often. It becomes a sentimental word. We just got through one of the most sentimental love periods of the year, didn't we? Valentine's Day. Now I'm sure most of you got or sent or did something with Valentine's. Maybe it was chocolate, maybe it was flowers, maybe it was a date night, maybe it was cards. I mean, they break you in early on that, don't they? I mean, elementary school, don't you have to send cards to everybody? And you know, but that's not the kind of love we're talking about. I think that's what happens here. We hear that love and it becomes this more cozy love. I mean, God doesn't love us enough that God sent us a box of chocolates. God didn't love us enough that God sent us a dozen roses. God didn't love us enough that God took us out on a date. God loved us enough. God loved us enough that God sent God's only Son. That if we can believe, we can have eternal life. Isn't that a powerful kind of love? Isn't that a great kind of love to incorporate into your faith journey as you begin to understand how God is working on your particular faith journey? Isn't that important? You see, this love isn't comfortable and cozy and sweet. It's an act of God's will. It's a decision God made. That God was going to love us this much, even though we couldn't earn it, we couldn't deserve it, but God was going to love us this much anyway. The question is, how do we respond to that love? How do we respond? Do we just yada, yada, yada through this passage and just kind of jump to the end of it, and it's like, oh, God loved the world, I'm in heaven, that's all that matters, yada, yada, yada. No, you have to respond to this kind of love. If you do nothing, that's a response, by the way. You can do nothing, and that is a response. But God is calling you to respond, not out of fear, not because you're afraid what you're going to get if you don't, but you respond out of love to love. And it's a great opportunity to do that, to reconnect today, to say today, I don't want to just go through life anymore, yada, yada, yada. I don't want to go through my faith journey anymore, yada, yada, yada. I don't want to take my faith and just act like it's another thing I do. I want to live my faith. I want to impact my life. I want to bring this kind of love of God into my faith journey. For years, in part of the Methodist Church, I've served on our Board of Ordained Ministry for 12 years, in fact. and we interview candidates going into the ministry. And I always like to ask this question, especially I think maybe because I wasn't raised in the church myself. I would ask candidates, if you see somebody over there and they don't go to church at all, never been to church, what do you see? And basically I would get two responses. The first response is, I see a sinner in need of redemption. Biblically and theologically true. The second response I would get is, I see a child of God in need of recognizing God's love. Biblically and theologically true. I don't know which answer is better than the other answer. I will tell you this. In my experience, those that said they saw a child of God in need of God's love have made a lot better pastors in the life of our conference than those that saw sinners. Not that we're not all sinners, but how do you see people? Do you see them as God, that you love the world so much that you want to reach out to them? Because that's what God is reminding us to do. But God is also speaking to each of us today. You may have a hurt, a heartache, a brokenness within you. And God is saying to you, I love you so much. I sent my son. And I'm waiting for you to respond. So today, as you prepare, as Linda comes forward to serve us communion, as we do that today, come forward and respond to God's love. Come and respond in a way that you can say yes to God. And I'm not going to yada, yada, yada through my faith journey anymore. I'm really going to begin to take it seriously and to live as God has called me to live. If we can do that, we can change the world. Thanks be to God for this opportunity. Amen.